The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe me?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you who are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is theirs? What is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I always kind of assumed with this gospel that I just didn't get it. Because it sounds for all the world like Jesus is telling, it's good to be a cheat. It's good to be dishonest. But I think there are a few things we need to look at just to understand more exactly what this gospel parable is about. It certainly is not about glorifying cheating. It never made sense that the one who is cheated would be pleased at the guy who is cheating him. So we begin with the dishonest steward. Probably the dishonest steward was hired by a dishonest master. So in the parables where you hear about the master or the king or the vineyard owner or the landowner, usually that points to the father. The father is the person in those parables, but in this case it's not so. He's immediately identified as a rich man who had a steward. So perhaps also a dishonest master, because the people who got their wealth in those days usually got it dishonestly. And in a culture with so much poverty, the contrast is probably intentional that Luke calls him rich. Remember, Luke, his gospel is all about taking care of the poor. So immediately, rich man, you think, oh, not a good thing. I also think that if he were generous in giving to the poor, that virtue would have been mentioned in the gospel, but it is not. That would make the cheating of the dishonest steward even more reprehensible. Next, remember that it's not the steward's money. And in fact, in most cultures, they have a different understanding of the things that we have. There's not so much a sense of ownership in most every other culture in the world. We are stewards of what we have. We are to care for it. We are to grow it if we can. We are to pass it on to the next person. It's never something that we hold on to or grasp. The Buddhists call that the grasping human nature. You're grasping for things, and it's a form of greed. selfishness. So he figures out a way that he might be welcomed into the homes of the people he's been cheating, so that he will find a place to land when he loses his job. Well, also in those days, the people who were in charge of other people's money, they tended to be usurers. A usurer is a person who takes someone's money, loans it, and then demands back more than what the amount was. So think about the last time you bought a bag of potato chips. There's about half as many potato chips in that bag as there used to be. In fact, I think they've got it figured out where they get the potato chips to all curl up into a little ball. So you can only get like 9 or 10 of them in a bag these days. They used to be flat and fit together. You know, they don't anymore. It's because they have decided how to keep the price low, but to give you half as much as you could have had before. It's happening everywhere, not just in potato chip land. So what he was doing, and I did this when I had my advertising agency, you would buy typesetting. Now this goes way back before we had computers. You would buy typesetting or camera work or different supplies. You would buy paper and ink from the printer. You would get a price from the printer. You would double it, and you would charge your client double what you were charged. I've even found out recently that one of the funeral homes around here, check your bills, one of the funeral homes around here says that the church charges $200, and they bill the family $200, even though we only charge $100 for the use of the church. It's just something that people do. And that's what this guy was doing, too. So in the beginning, when it says, there was a steward who was, the rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. This is how he was squandering it. He was taking what the people owed the rich man and doubling it. So what does he do? He decides he's going to be honest. And so he says, what do you owe him? They say 100 whatever's of oil, 100 gallons of oil. And he says, well, quickly write down 50, because that's really how much you owe. You just didn't know that. And then the thing of wheat, you owe 100. Well, make it 80. So he ultimately figures out a solution where the rich man gets what he's owed, and the person who owes only pays what they have to pay. Now the gospel parable starts to make more sense, doesn't it? And why is that even important? Well, okay, so when you say your act of contrition, and you say, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you, and I detest all my sins because of your just punishments, but most of all because they offend you, my God, who I should love above all things. That's called imperfect and perfect contrition. Ideally, we would like to think we're sorry for our sins because we have this overwhelming love for God. But the church says that imperfect contrition is just as good and will work just as well. That's the mercy of God right there. You can be sorry for what you did because you're afraid of the punishment that will follow. That's okay. And I think that's what this guy was doing. And because he showed himself to be prudent with both the rich man's money and the debt of the person, suddenly Jesus then goes into this whole teaching about the children of the world and dealing with their own generation. Make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth. Learn how to manage it so that you will be able to manage eternal wealth, basically. And then he says, the person who is trustworthy in very small matters, which this was a very small matter, is also trustworthy in greater ones. Suddenly the gospel makes sense. The bottom line is do the right thing and be prudent and work for the outcome that is good and obey God and do the right thing. Now, the second part of this homily today, of course, is that this is Commitment Sunday. Did everybody bring their commitment cards? Did you get your catalogs in the mail? I heard that they dropped on Monday and Tuesday, so you had plenty of time. So we have a little message for you at the end of this homily today, and this is something that we prepared for all the masses. Today, our St. Bernadette community joyfully celebrates Commitment Sunday, a time to renew engagement in the vibrant life of the parish. By now, most families have received a packet containing the ministry catalog and a commitment card. Those who have completed their card are invited to place it in the offertory basket during today's collection. Anyone who still needs a card is warmly encouraged to see an usher and complete one before leaving. In recent weeks, the parish has prayerfully reflected on the call to share time, talent, and treasure in ways that strengthen the heart of parish life: hospitality, prayer, formation, and service. Last weekend's parish life celebration was a joyful reminder that God is at work here, blessing St. Bernadette with active ministries and countless opportunities to grow in faith and friendship. Stewardship is more than just filling out a card. It is a way of life. Every parishioner is already a steward of God's gifts, invited to dedicate time to worship and community, to offer talents in service and ministry, and to share treasure and generosity for the mission of the church. Commitment Sunday invites everyone to listen to God's call to nurture prayer, extend a warm welcome, grow in faith through formation, and serve those in need with loving hearts. With humble gratitude for the many gifts shared, our St. Bernadette family steps forward in faith, trusting that God will continue to bless this community as it lives out the gospel with joy and generosity.